It's a great day to be thankful. Amen. Psalm chapter 30, verse 10. The writer of Psalms says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing." That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I was crying, but now I've got a jig in my step. "Thou hast put off my sackcloth." In other words, you've taken off my homeless beggar's garment. You've taken off the old mourner's garment, and you have girded me with gladness. I have a smile upon my face again. "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee." In other words, the writer understood that the reason that the Lord did these things for him was so that he would have an understanding of who he should sing to. Amen. "And not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." And I've just entitled the lesson this morning for this adult class, "Thank You." I've already stated it, but it's still hard for me to believe that we are just a few short days away from the Thanksgiving holiday season. I'm looking forward especially to this particular one because I also was able to take the day after Thanksgiving off. Worked for a company for 28 years. You get a little seniority in those prime days that usually are gone when you're low man on the totem pole. It's kind of nice to be able to go in there and pick and choose a few days that you've always wanted. And so not only am I off on Thursday and can eat all the turkey and ham and mashed potatoes and green bean casserole and the list goes on and on and on that I want to, but then I can go into a coma on Friday and not have to get up and go clock the punch the time card on Friday. So it's going to be a good week, a week I'm looking forward to. But I can't believe we're here already. Thanksgiving kicks off the holiday season, and it's a beautiful time of year, and things for me are about ready to get real busy. I've never been more appreciative of all the great help that we have in this church than right around the holiday season, because I really lean very heavily upon the other ministry in this church for those that take care of the music and for a lot of things, because I kind of go bye-bye for a couple of weeks there, and you may or may not get to see too much of me except for right around service time. Very, very busy time of the year for people that are in the package delivery business, and Brother Clint Upshulte can amen me on that one for sure. He and I both get very, very busy this time of year. Thanksgiving is one of the most important days of the year to me, and yet I look around and I see much of the world that uses Thanksgiving as a platform to kick off the Christmas season. It becomes a launching pad. As a matter of fact, you go into most of our local retailers and you won't find any Thanksgiving music playing. You can barely find any kind of Thanksgiving themed stuff up. There might be one or two of these little blow-up turkeys that you can put out in your yard that light up at night and they're filled with the air or something like that. But by and large, it's overshadowed in a great deal by Christmas stuff that's already coming out already. And you know why? Because Christmas makes money and Thanksgiving doesn't make all that much money. So the retailers are in the business of trying to make a dollar or two, and I've got no problem with them making money, but what I do have a problem with is when the one day of the year that we ought to be thankful gets overshadowed by another holiday. Not that that holiday is not important. I believe in Christmas. I'm not saying, you know, buy a humbug towards Christmas, but one holiday at a time, please. I don't want the holiday of Thanksgiving to be overshadowed. Even many of the retailers have become unsatisfied with opening their doors at 5 a.m. on Friday morning. And I used to, except for this year, I'll be asleep, but most of the time about 5:30, I'm running down Interstate 64 on my way to Collinsville to go to work, to be at work by 5:40. So I'm actually there about 5:15, going past like the Target and the stores there in Fairview Heights, the things that I've seen. And I'll always look and I'll see the parking lot is jam-packed full of cars, and the lines are lined up all outside the doors, and people are waiting to get in those stores. And I think, Lord, that is just not me. I mean, if you do that, that is fine. I've got no problem with you doing that. Just don't expect for me to come along and be a part of that. That is not who I am. I'll wait until 11 o'clock and go and pay a few dollars more instead of getting an elbow to the face over the last, you know, Tickle Me Elmo doll. And I know that's not even the rage this year, but you know what I'm talking about. It gets a little crazy, but our retailers aren't even satisfied with that anymore. Many of them are now beginning to open up on Thursday evening. They've got their workers coming in on Thanksgiving Day and bringing their folks in because people want to get a head start. Now, I love Christmas time as much as the next guy. I really do. I enjoy unwrapping a present every now and then. I enjoy receiving something. As a matter of fact, Bryce and Mallory went out, tried to get a lot of their Christmas shopping done yesterday. And so I very artfully and skillfully sent Brother Jones a text message. And I said, hey, I don't want you guys going overboard for Christmas gifts on me this year. You know, I make it, cap it off at like $400 to $500. Don't spend any more than $400 or $500 on me this year. To which he quickly replied, and this is why I have so much fun texting him, because he's always coming back with some kind of witty reply. He said, it cost me that much just for the shipping on what I've spent on you this year. So that all remains to be seen. We'll see what actually comes of that. So I enjoy Christmas time. I enjoy the family coming over. I enjoy Christmas Eve, which is our family tradition. You all pretty much know how things run around our house. But I don't like that the trend of glossing over the one day a year that we should just stop and just be thankful for what we have instead of looking for what we're going to get next. Now, I've got a reason for talking about this today. It's not healthy to not be happy unless we're getting something. Not healthy, not spiritually healthy. There was a saying that I heard, maybe you've heard it before. What if you woke up today with only the things that you thank God for yesterday? That stuck with me for quite some time now. It's made me really stop and think, because I think, you know, there'd been times when I'd have had to walk 60 miles to get to work, you know, because I'd wake up and I didn't thank God for my vehicle the day before, go out to the garage, and then I got to thinking I probably wouldn't have a garage either because I didn't thank God for the garage either. So there's a lot of things that we fail to thank God for that we have, that he's blessed us with, you know. Some may not have had any breakfast today because maybe our cabinets would be bare because we didn't thank the Lord for what he's given us. So, I can tell what's going on in maybe a few minds here. So, Brother Rice, does that mean that we need to make a list and we need to thank God for every single little thing that he's given us? Do I have to thank him every single day for my car and for my garage and for my food? No, the list is immaterial. That's not what God is recommending us to do, because if we were ever to sit down and make a list, it would be completely overwhelming, right?
Right.
There's so much. And so the point of the list is not the point at all. The point is today that when we think about how much, how long, how huge, how humongous that list would be, that's the real point. There is so much to be thankful for that there's no way that we could ever write a list for everything that God has blessed us with. And so I just thank him in generalities a lot of times. Lord, I thank you for my home and my family, and I pray that you bless my children. I thank you that I have good health today, and that I'm able to wake up and I'm able to go to work, that I'm able to make a living, that I'm not hungry on the street, that I'm not somebody that's sitting in a cold, dark alley somewhere with a needle hanging out of my veins. Thank you for all of the blessings just to be able to know who you are and be in my right mind. And you can suppose whatever you want to about that last little thing I said. You may or may disagree, may or may not agree with that, but I thank God for being able to have the capacity to think and to do and to move and to do all of these things that he's asked of us to do and he's blessed us with. Man, God's been so gracious and good to us that there is no way that we should ever take that for granted. We must be a thankful people. I want to show you a scripture. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul wrote to Timothy, said, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. So he's talking about a specific segment of time here, and he's describing this specific segment of time as being a perilous time. He said, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You hear that up there? The youth class? All the parents said, amen. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And the Bible then ends it all by saying this. It says, and from such people, turn away. 19 different indicators of the last days, of what kind of peril that we'll be dealing with. 19 different indicators, and I'm fairly certain that that was probably not all inclusive. There were some more things that they could have put on the list there, but you get the picture. Paul is trying to let Timothy know that there are some things that you need to watch out for, that when people read your writings, it may not be in the day and the hour that Timothy was living in, but there's a day and an hour that's coming that is going to be considered the last days, and those last days are going to be perilous times. And how are the people of God going to know that it's the last days? Well, they're going to understand it because it's going to line up with what the Word of God says. 19 different indicators of what the perilous times were going to be. And as Christian people, we look at some of these and we like to, as human beings, we like to categorize things in different things and place things in certain realms of what we like to, maybe consider a greater sin or a lesser sin. So we look at certain things and we see the brutal, it's going to be people that are going to be very, brutal times. And, I look at this child trafficking, human trafficking and the things, and I'm thinking, how can one person do to another person what's taking place without having a total brutal mindset? How can all these things take place? But we're living in a world of brutality. We're living in a world where blasphemy is something that is very real. The money hungry. And right smack dab in all the middle of all those things, we find that Paul wrote to Timothy, there's another thing that is going to be able to be recognized for you being in the last days, and that is that they are going to be unthankful. They're not going to appreciate the truth. They're not going to appreciate somebody that loves them. They're not going to appreciate a church that reaches out and tries to care for them. They are going to simply be unthankful. Oh, that's not that they're not going to expect things of you. It's not that they're not going to receive things from you. But when you give it to them, they're not going to consider it anything that they couldn't have found from someplace else. They're going to expect these things and not be thankful for them. This is the danger of living in a world that has forgotten how to say thank you. Held the door open for somebody just the other day. Now, I would have to say 50 to 60% of the time, if I'll stand there and somebody's coming up not too far behind me and just hold the door open so that they don't, doesn't shut in their face, most of the time, I'd say 50, 60% of the time, they will say thank you. Appreciate that. But it's that other percentage of the time that I just want to say, whoa, back up just a second. Wait just a second. And make them scoot back and then shut the door on them. Get it yourself. How hard is it? You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be good looking. Amen. You don't hardly have to be able to speak in order to let somebody know that you appreciate a nice little gesture and say thank you. But we are living in a society that has forgotten simply how to say thanks. Never let us get to the place where we think that we are self-made and we have no need of God. Believe you me, I understand all too much firsthandly how you can get up one day and go to work and think everything's going to be the same, and by the end of that day, you don't know if you're going to have a job. You don't know if you're going to have your health. You don't know if you're going to be able to. And so the other day, I walk into this place. It was last Saturday, and the guy, it was a jewelry store out in the country, in the sticks, in between Centralia and Salem. And I walk into the place, and the guy's in there, and he met me at the door, and I handed him the package and said a pleasantry to him. And he said, well, you're awful happy to be out here working on a Saturday. I said, let me tell you something. I'm glad to be here. I said, I'm thankful to have this job. I said, I know what it's like to wonder if I'm going to be able to come back and do this job anymore. I told him just a brief synopsis. He said, well, I guess I can completely understand where you're coming from. And so pardon me if I don't get up every morning and say, thank you, God, for my health. Thank you, God, for my well-being. Thank you, God, for my family, my church, and my friends, and my relationship. Thank you, God, that I know who you are. I am a blessed man, but don't you think for one second that I don't appreciate it, because I am thankful today for what God has blessed me with. I think in a lot of folks' mind, they think thankfulness is a sign of weakness. By saying thank you, by somehow it's demeaning to them. Thankfulness isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of knowing where our power comes from. It's not taking the authority for ourselves. Being thankful simply is saying, God, I recognize that I am nothing without you. Thank you.
That's right.
Some would still be sitting on a bar stool, maybe falling off a bar stool. Some would still have drugs running through their veins today. Some would still have relationship problems that are nightmarish. Some would have all kinds of problems. You know what I'm talking about. But because of the grace of God, here we sit today. Here we are today in a church family that is full of love. We've got something so amazing here. We've got some of the most amazing people in the world, people that I think would lay down their life for some other folks in here. There's that much love that we have, something that is to be appreciated, something to be thankful for, because God has blessed us with it. David, he was a man of great power, feared by most of the rest of the world in his day. They were scared to death of David. And he wrote this. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. They cried, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And Saul went off into a seething, jealous rage that finally wound up taking him down a path to total and complete destruction. He not only lost his life, but he watched his son die right beside him. And not only that, but he died not living for God, not being in the good graces of God. As a matter of fact, the last person that he went to seek advice from was a witch. And Saul went into this situation because he forgot what David never did forget. You see, because David had his own set of issues. David had his own shortcomings. But David said, my help comes from the Lord. Saul lost his ability to be thankful while David was giving God credit every time he won a victory. God, what should we do? Should we go up or should we stay put? He would seek counsel from God. And he would listen to the counsel of God. And when God gave him the victory, he didn't try to take the credit for himself. He said, oh, I'm just the general. I'm just the king of this army. But I take my orders from a greater king. I take my orders. And if there's any victory that was won, it was won today because God blessed us. How many times did he walk into battle with a handful of men and overcome a great obstacle? How many times did he overcome adversity that was much, much greater than him? And by all the world standards, he should have been whooped and sent packing. But David understood where his power came from. And God blessed David because David was a man with a thankful heart. I'll tell you a fictitious story and then ask a very important question. I just made this up this morning, so just bear with me a little bit, but I want to try to get a point across to you today. What if you came across, when you left church today, a homeless stranger, and you saw them down, you know, maybe sitting on a curb somewhere or whatever. You just found them, and obviously they were homeless. You drove past them, but something about them tugged at your heartstrings. So you turned around and you went back and you introduced yourself and you asked them a little bit about themselves, and they began to tell you their tragic story of loss. You know, who knows what would have happened, but at the end of it all, this is where it left them, and they're homeless and It's a little chilling. It's going to get even colder tonight. And all these things began to roll through your mind. And you've just heard an awesome lesson taught by your pastor on how to be thankful. And so your heart's really soft right now towards somebody like this. And so you begin to get in this conversation and you ask the guy, you know, so are you hungry? I haven't eaten for 3 days. And you're like, you know what? You take him and put him in your car and you take him down to a restaurant and you tell him, you get whatever you want to eat. And you really mean it. You don't want him chintzing. And the guy takes you up on it. He's like, man, bring me a baked potato and I'll take a steak and a salad and go ahead and bring me a piece of cheesecake to go along with it. And you're not feeling taken advantage of. This is what you're desiring. You really want to help this guy. Your heart is going out to him. You're thankful for what you have, and you're looking at somebody else that doesn't have that much. And you just feel really good because you know that he would not have had this meal unless you had provided it for him. Okay? But you weren't done. You looked at this guy and you could tell, you know, he seems like he's got it together. You see something in him that maybe he's not seen in himself for a long time. And so you're not done here. You've got him. He's eating and he's sitting in this place and you're sitting across the table. And you say, you know what? While you're finishing up here, hang on a second. I'll be right back. And you run down to your bank and you just about wipe your account out. You, for me, that's about $150 to wipe my bank account out. Okay. But you've got a lot more than me. So you got some money in the bank and you just go in there and you just take a large sum of that money and you bring it back. Maybe you don't have a whole lot of money in your bank, but you're really ready to sacrifice here. And this is on your heart. And you come back and he's just wrapping things up. He said, we're not done yet. You're not taking off. He said, I just feel to do this. Will you allow me to do something nice for you? And he's like, sure. You know, if that's what you want to do. And so you put him in your car and you take him to your home. And if you're a woman here today, your husband is home with you and he's been right there with you the whole time. You don't take some stranger into your home, ladies. If you're there by yourself, make sure your husband is there. I just wanted to qualify that since we're just imagining things here. You get him cleaned all up. He goes in. He takes a shower. I hadn't had a shower in months. And, oh, man, your car still reeks of the smell, you know, when you go back out there an hour later. And he gets all cleaned up. And you're thinking, well, you got him all cleaned up. And But still, so you get him back in your car and you take him down to the local place and you get him a nice set of shoes. You get him a suit, a new dress shirt, a tie, and you just fix him all up. But you're not finished yet. You take him down to the local barber shop and you get him a nice fresh haircut and a nice shave and you get him looking all dapper. And when he walks out of that place, you spend a good chunk of money on him, but you just feel so great inside because you're looking at a transformed person here. He's not the same guy that he was 2 hours ago. He's different. Or at least he looks different than what he did. Even took him down and got a manicure, got all that dirt from out from underneath his fingernails that accumulated that, you know, from all those nights sleeping out in the cold. But you still weren't finished because you knew that without a job that this guy was going to wind up being right back homeless again. You're thinking, how can I do all this and just leave him out in the cold? So you take him down to a place that you know is hiring. And not only do you know that it's hiring, but you are a great, great friend of the man that's doing the hiring. And so you walk this guy in and say, hey, Joe, this is Bill. Met Bill a few hours ago. You don't tell him where Bill came from, but you said, Bill needs a job and I'm here to vouch for Bill because you're thinking, you know, if I get this guy set up, I get him a job, I get him, going, he'll be all right. And you're thinking, I can get this guy set up for life. I can take care of him right here and right now. So you introduce him and say, you know what? I'm going to go sit out in the car and I'll wait for Bill to be out after. And you know, it's a shoe-in. It's done. It's a done deal. This guy has got the job because they're really desperate for help. And so you're sitting out in the car and 20 minutes goes by and then 45 minutes, an hour and 15 minutes. You're wondering, it shouldn't take this long. So you get up and you walk back inside and you ask the receptionist to say, hey, you know, are they still in the meeting there? Are they still interviewing? Is it going okay? And she's like, no, Bill left. Like, he left? What do you mean he left? I introduced him to Joe, who was going to hire him, said, no, well, as soon as you walked out the door, he asked where the bathroom was, and he bolted out the back door, and we haven't seen him since. You're heartbroken. You're like, what just happened here? after the way that you had transformed him, he should have had everything that he ever needed. And so, as you're driving back home, you spot a guy walking down the road and you spot a man that looks kind of familiar. Except it couldn't be. Because you just spent a small fortune on clothing and this guy is wearing the same dirty clothes that you threw in the trash can 2 hours ago. Oh, the haircut's still fresh. He's still clean shaven, still looks sharp, but now the clothing, the old homeless clothing, is back on this guy. Here's the question. Would you feel appreciated? Or would you be heartbroken? Everything that you had invested, you laid it all on the line, and yet there he was walking away without so much as a thank you. As a matter of fact, when you tried to pull up alongside of him, he said, "Hey, Bill, what?" He took one look at you and he took off running out through a muddy cornfield to get away from you, knowing that you could have changed his life, even maybe become his friend. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus Christ when he wrote, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. He is rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne not his griefs, our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid it on him, the iniquity of us all." Why is it so important that we be thankful? Because we were the homeless.
Yes.
We were the rejected.
Yes.
We were the ones that had no hope. And God took all of that upon himself. And he put that clothing, he put that transgression on. He clothed himself with our unrighteousness. And he took it all to the cross so that we could walk away looking like $1 million. But we looked at it and we said, "No, give me my old sackcloth back. Give me my old stinky clothes back." The world in general is not thankful, and therefore they walk around as homeless beggars when he paid the ultimate price for us to have everything that we needed. The world has a me mentality. The church must have a him mentality.
Yes.
We must recognize everything that he has done for us. Why is it so important that we're thankful? Because he knows how much that he has invested in us to make our lives better. But until a person understands what he's done and says thank you, he can't bless us with greater things. 81 times the word speaks of thanks, but not because God can't live without us saying thank you. I can live if I open the door. It's not going to affect me that much outside of an aggravation. Open the door for somebody, they walk through and don't even look my way, don't even nod their head, don't say thank you. I can live. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to go home to my wife. I'm not getting a divorce because the guy down there at the Dollar General didn't tell me thank you when I held the door open for him. My world is not going to be shattered, and God doesn't necessarily have to have our thank yous. It's not because he can't live without it, but it is because he can't bless us without us saying thank you. Case in point, as I close today, if I have a child that I do something nice for, if I have a child that I do a little something extra for, and they just take it, and money I spent, I work hard for a living. Same as you. We all work hard for a living. We just want to be appreciated, don't we? Especially when we go out of our way to buy something really extra special. But to see it just rejected or tossed in the trash can or broken because it wasn't taken care of, do you think I'm going to go out and replace that or buy them something nicer next year? No, not until they learn to appreciate what I've given them already. But if I see how much they love it. Easton talked me into a gift the other day, a couple of weeks ago, believe it or not. I don't always do this, but sometimes I do. And I even popped, I told him, you got a $5 limit, and I wound up spending $18. But I saw something, you know, I saw something, and I thought, this is really neat, and it's not, you know, for what we're getting. And I watched him go home, and he played with that all day long. Then he took it to his house. We went over to their house later on that evening for supper, and he's still playing. He got up on the table. He's playing with it. He's having a good time. And later on, I saw that he had put all the pieces inside a little container box, and things were, and the next day he was playing with it again. His parents said, he has played with that all day. And I watched him enjoy it. You know what that makes me feel like? That was worth it. That was worth the extra sacrifice in order to get him something he really enjoyed and that he is appreciating. And he must have told me thank you 4 or 5 times. It's so much easier for me to go out the next time and say, let's pick you something else out. Maybe I'll pop for $25 this time. But not until he appreciates the lesser gift. What father, grandfather doesn't want to bless their child? You know, I don't buy the same things for every child. I doubt that Mallory and Morgan and Chloe would enjoy opening up their gifts and find camouflaged wool socks like the guys might be getting this year. You know, the reason I don't get them all the same thing, because they all have different likes, different things that they enjoy. God knows you. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. And He is going to bless you accordingly if we are thankful. Would you stand with me this morning?